This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. It is Thursday, the 2nd of May at 12:04 p.m. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise BizBytes. I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
Arvini Baraj.
We're going to be with you for about an hour, as usual. If you'd like to get in touch with the show via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram are both at BFM Radio. Today's discussion, we've been speaking on and off about smart cities and what we'd like to improve about our cities. We had a bit of a rant off, didn't we, about a week or so ago. Jeff was also involved in one of these rants, I think, as well. Now, there was a piece of news coming out of Indonesia saying that they are contemplating moving their capital city. It's not a simple task. It's 10 million people moving, living currently in Jakarta around. So they're talking about moving it for two reasons. One, of course, it is thoroughly overcrowded. And two, parts of the city are sinking. And of course, parts of North Java are sinking due in part to climate change. And they're worried that flooding will affect the city a lot more. So our discussion today is along those lines, but slightly different. Same, but different. If you could push the reset button on KL, what would you do differently? How would you change things? Also, later on through the show, we may have a discussion about if you were given the chance of moving the capital city somewhere in Malaysia, where might be a good option? That might come up a little bit in discussion a little bit later on. So that's our topic of discussion for the day. Again, 018-789-8899 at BFM Radio on social media. Then we'll be moving on to Facebook F8, where it's a step towards better privacy. I'm trying to say that with a straight face. And story at the end will be about how your phone isn't eavesdropping, but the truth may be a little bit creepier. Creepier than eavesdropping.
Yeah, a lot creepier.
I don't like the sound of this. Right. So just to give you that piece of news, the president of Indonesia wants to move the country's capital, Jakarta, to another location off the main island of Java, in part because the city of more than 10 million is sinking into the sea. Joko Widodo called the announcement an important decision, according to the country's planning minister. This has been reported in the BBC News. The decision is in part due to research finding that parts of Jakarta will be completely submerged in just decades. According to models, by 2050, about 95% of North Jakarta will be submerged. We actually have a clip about somebody talking about this. Let's just play that now, please, Chris.
Indonesia's president has decided to move the country's capital off the crowded main island of Java. Joko Widodo stressed the need for a new way of thinking about Indonesia's future. He said the move could take up to 10 years, citing Brazil and Kazakhstan as examples. According to the planning minister, the government has yet to pick a new location, but they've been looking at the eastern side of the archipelago. The decision comes after private posters say Jokowi won a recent presidential election. The current capital, Jakarta, is home to more than 10 million people. The low-lying city is prone to flooding and chronic traffic congestions.
Okay, so there's a couple of things there that we can kind of relate to. Flooding is something that happens an awful lot here in KL. And, you know, we're not particularly low-lying. There's a lot of rivers around where we are, though, so they get flooded. The drains get flooded a lot, partly because they're full of rubbish.
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem. Now, discussion here in the studio. Let's just throw it out as a bit of an open discussion. First things first, I'm going to give you two things that you would change immediately with that reset button.
Within KL?
Or a snap of the fingers, if you want to
go
that far.
Yeah, why not?
What would you change?
So if I could change how KL was built, I think I would build every suburb and every commercial area around a giant park. Or not parks that are too big, just like normal, moderate, average-sized parks. Because, one, if you give people the challenge of planning a city, if you give them like an obstacle, then they will plan cities better. But if you give them like just free will, you can bulldoze anything you want, build any condo anywhere, then we get KL, you know. So if you give them like you know, every commercial district has to be built around greenery and a park that has, you know, a certain amount of trees and walkways.
Zoning.
So that would work. That is one. And then the second thing is just basic, like public transport. Make sure that the entire city is accessible through one mode of public transport, not two or three different modes where you have to connect, but one primary mode of public transport.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Sandhu.
Thanks for giving Arf the chance to go first, because now he just completely ripped off my ideas. Yeah. Build around parks. That's a great idea, because you know, San Francisco, New York, a lot of the states in the US, a lot of the cities in the US, they tend to follow that model, right? So you build a large national park, and within the park itself, you will have like a zoo. You've got, you know, museums. You've got you know, universities, and then parks that, you know, this is a large national park. And then the city builds around it. What I found really fascinating when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, it's a grid system. You know, the roads were as straight as your eyes could see, and I just felt like, for someone who had no idea how the city looked like and how to navigate, never been there before, it only took me less than a few minutes to just understand, you know, where to go and how to move about within the city. I thought it was really easy, and it would make, I guess, having a grid-like system would make transportation a lot easier.
Yeah, a lot more efficient.
A lot more efficient. Your rail networks, you know, in Phoenix, they don't, you know, in the whole of US, they don't really have like a, you know, subway, metro trains, unless in bigger cities like New York, for example, right? But in Phoenix, Arizona, they don't have that. But they are planning to build. I mean, imagine if we have the MRT system or the LRT system in a grid, like, then you don't have this kind of funny routes of building, you know. Our MRT goes like a snake, you know.
Zigzag.
Zigzag. You sometimes you feel you're heading north, then you're heading east, then you're heading west. There's no real central area to where you're heading. It's just a complete mess because of the way that we have. Of course, we don't have a flat surface. KL is, you know, there's a hill, there's valleys and stuff, but I think we could still maneuver it around. It will be nice to have a grid, like, just looking at housing areas as well. It's not really a grid like system, is it? It's just who has more money to buy a bigger land, and then, you know, they build this, you know, four-story house in an area where everyone just has single-story houses, right? Just look at outside of Tabantun. Right. You know, it doesn't look pretty.
Right. Okay, so there's a couple of things I can relate to there. I mean, London is a very old city, of course, and it's not... It's been around a long time, but it had parts of it, like you say, Arv, earlier on, has been raised and then built back. You look at cities like Warsaw in Poland, for example, which is built on a grid system. New York, like you mentioned, built on a grid system. Milton Keynes in the UK, built on a grid system. All follow very similar kind of rules. You know, you have that central business district, or whatever it is, the city center. And then around that you have a commercial district, and then you have your residential district, and then on the outskirts you'll normally have, you know, your industrial areas. So everybody knows where everything roughly is. The idea of getting from one place to another is not complicated, because you know that on grid 5A or whatever, you're going to find something else. Or East 122nd Street and something else, you know what's going to be there, because it's immediately identifiable.
And that's the one thing that I realize, we don't use it often compared to, even in Singapore, they use it quite often. Like, they will be able to tell you north, west, east, south in a city, right? So if you would ask anyone in Singapore, like, you know, where is this place, they go like, oh, that's further up north. But like in KL, it's a little bit hard.
It's someone, over by SS15.
Yeah, you give a landmark instead of north and south, because it's really north and south is.
Beijing is brilliant, right? Beijing has a series of ring roads. So you know which, they say it's, you know, East 5th Ring Road. Boom, you know exactly which part of the city it's in. We can't do that with KL because of just how it's kind of morphed into, and it's a beautiful city. I love this city. But it frustrates the heck out of me because of the way, it's like a piece of jelly that you've just thrown on the floor and it's just kind of gone bloop.
And everything's everywhere.
And everything is everywhere.
I'm sure we started with a grid system one time. But then that's the problem. So we had a grid, and then someone went, I want to build something here, and then there was no grid.
Right.
So you start with one system, but because of like development, because you want to build like extra condos or buildings or whatever, you don't respect the grid system.
Yeah.
And now we end up with a city that's like all over the place. Even coming back to what you said bit about the SS and the USGS. How do you know where which USG or SS is?
Don't.
Like there's
and an it S- makes yeah. no sense either. SS-14 is not next to 15.
No.
It's like, 15 is next to 19, if I'm not mistaken, in Subang. So I don't understand why it was wrong. So it gets a little bit confusing.
But there was another piece in this article that kind of really made me think as well. And it was talking about Parliament and their politicians and how if they want to get to Parliament on time, they have to have outriders and they have to have, you know, people getting them through. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's why they do it. It's not because they want to feel important, maybe a little bit, but it's because they need to get there on time.
They have to.
And if they,
Jakarta?
In Jakarta.
Oh, yeah. Have you not been to Jakarta?
I have, but a long
traffic
time.
Is but bad.
If you know that the public is going through that same problem because you're having to do it yourself, do something about it, you know?
It's tough, yeah. I remember getting stuck in Jakarta's traffic from the airport to the city, which normally on a good day, it would take you about an hour and a half. Mm. I got stuck for about 5.5 hours.
Right. You see?
But
we've also got to think, you know, how would doing something like this, how would it affect business? Would business be better in a city that's better organized? Logically,
of course.
Yes.
And also it'll be better for the culture. I mean, if you give people like outdoor places to go to, then it takes us away from shopping mall culture because there's nothing else we do. Like,
and the reason we have shopping mall culture is because we have to.
Yeah.
Because
there's no park.
There's no park.
There's no arts and culture, right? Like how, you know, can you... Titi Wangsa is a park that we have in KL, but there's absolutely, you know, no kind of soul and arts and life within, you know, Titi
Nothing
Wangsa
goes on
itself.
There.
Yeah,
it's very
rare
to get to.
Very rare you find something, you know, in Titi Wangsa that you can actually go and, you know, majority of people can actually go and celebrate. It's very skewed to you know, something that just throws a lot of people off.
Mm. Is it over in Churras where there's lots of like little lakes and stuff? Is that Churras? Or I know it's something beginning with C, one of them.
You've got a lot of lakes, so yeah.
Imagine like just if KL was one giant Desapak city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that would, that's what it should look like.
Right.
Yeah, everything's built around like water.
Around
and,
a park.
And parks, and on the gardens and stuff. So that's how it should work.
Anyway, right, we're going to wrap up for this segment. But that's the topic of discussion. You know, we're talking about infrastructure, we're talking about traffic, we're talking about low-rise buildings, we're talking about public transportation, all of the things that we think if we were given the reset button, what we would do to KL. These are our suggestions. We're waiting on yours. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio. Music coming up from the Beatles. Good Day Sunshine here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Big Friendly Matcha, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Arvind Yavaraj.
Topic of discussion today is Indonesia are mulling the idea of moving their capital city, partly because it's sinking into the sea. So not such a bad idea about thinking about moving it. But obviously, if you're deciding to do something like that, there's a whole bunch of problems that come with it, but also opportunity. You know, how would you change the city that you're moving to, or if they wanted to move it to a new city, for example? We spoke about Warsaw, we spoke about Milton Keynes, we've spoken about Phoenix, Arizona, all of these cities that are a little bit younger that have managed to design their city smarter, grid systems, ideas like that.
So Phoenix is old, yo.
Phoenix is
old, yo.
Well, 1880 something.
It's the Wild West, you know. It's like the, what's the HBO series, the one where the robots were...
Westworld.
The Westworld, yes. Mm. Thank you, Christine. Yeah, Westworld. Yeah, it looks exactly like Westworld
on the outskirts. Walking around in your little cowboy boots.
Everybody looks like Anthony Hopkins.
Get off your horse and drink your milk.
The world ain't big enough for the both of us, y'all.
Pew, pew. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. So we've asked you guys for some suggestions. We've got plenty. Let's do Twitter first.
Yes.
So this comes from Yi Yu, who says, a 20-year township development blueprint. Better planning that involves green parks, recreation parks, transportation, sewage, hospitals, bomba, business and commercial areas, etc. Azad says, build all the public transport, LRT, MRT, monorail and trams before building all the roads and the expensive toll highways. All new housing estate must have some sort of viable public transport before approval for moving in.
That's a great idea.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
And Nara says, is there a copy and paste button for Georgetown, JB and KK?
Yeah.
And then Eric says better integrated transport a la Singapore, a more well-planned township and more greenery.
Okay, over to WhatsApp.
Yeah, so 0812 sent in a message saying it doesn't even have to be a boring square grid. You can also have circular grids as well.
Mm. Indeed. And like then, Paris, for example.
Yeah, and then 9165 said, the one thing I wish could remain in KL is the Pudu Jail. Why? It's a symbolic of how civilization was built and was a place to keep all the notorious criminals. We tend to neglect history for the sake of personal interest. Imagine how today's KL would be once without the presence of Pudu Jail. Anyhow, it's over now. I can only tell my children once this famous Pudu Jail kept KL, Malaysia safe every time I pass by Jalan Pudu and Imbi. And in the near future, you will be probably, you know, walking around in the mall and then telling your kids like, oh, you know, by the way, this is like, you know, Malaysia's most notorious prison back in the days. Mm. And now it's a shopping mall, so let's go and watch Avengers.
over to...
Because that's history.
Yeah, over to Insta Story. Rosuto has said, remove shopping malls and replace with trees.
Yes.
Make KL a green city. F. Padhong has said, planning, all the problems KL faces are due to poor planning practices, for sure. Public transport gets a couple of mentions. Structures of road traffic and railway structures, I'd change them. Rumour 74 is saying something that's close to my heart as well. Pedestrian walkways.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it comes down to the planning of the city. Think City, they are part of the subsidiary of Khazanah National. They've actually been doing quite a lot of work in Georgetown, in JB as well, but also in KL. Some of the things that they've done is things like the Green Transformation Program. This is calling all building owners in KL to partner with them and sort of do urban farming. So like all your walls or your balconies have plants and stuff. There's also done things like, if you've ever been to Bangsa in APW, that was also part of their project. And I love APW. It's using materials that are sustainable and yet it's so eco-friendly, it's greenery. They've done a lot of things and it comes down to urban planning. And the best way, I think the reason why we're not doing a good job at it is because a lot of us just want things that are convenient for our own sake.
I think a lot of the problem is we're allowing developers to build wherever they want to.
When that happens as well, we don't think of a bigger picture. We don't think, we always blame like, yeah, you know, because this is a developer who did this and stuff. But I would love to see schools, and these are like, I'm talking about like primary schools and high schools, having things like embedding SimCity kind of world where they actually try to learn about, you know, the importance of urban planning and building cities around. SimCity was a game that I just love playing.
Yeah.
And it's, I found out like just recently, about a few months ago, there are a lot of urban planners around the world, in New York, in Western countries, in the UK as well. A lot of them are actually fans of the game when they were young, and they credit a lot to, you know, their ability to think because of SimCity. And, you know, the one of the things that caught my attention was Jay Forrester. He's from MIT. He was one of the first few individuals who helped to build SimCity using a theoretical model. And yeah, the beauty of simulation models is that you can try things out. So Forrester did, and he's, some of his simulation produced quite an interesting conclusion. For example, he said, like, the worst thing you can do for a city is that the beginning to decay at its core is to build affordable public housing, because that just attracts more poor people. Mm. It erodes tax base and it sends the city into a death spiral. This is the same thing that happened in Detroit, which suffered a population fall of nearly 600,000 between 1950 and 1980. Mm. So of course you can't just rely on games to predict, you know, how you can build a city, but it does inspire people to be better planners of their own neighborhoods and their own towns. And we have communities. Taman Tun has a really great community where they talk about it and trying to protect their park. But we need more people to be like that, more people to be engaged. And how do you do that? Is you got to have some sort of mechanism in your education system to get people to understand what is the effect if you build more business center and less parks. And we don't see it. we only, you know, realize it when we're much older and go like, hey, there's no parks around me. And I can't actually walk to a park. I have to drive
to a park.
It's that idea of, like, you know, community and parks and looking after those spaces that you have as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up and the top of my mum's street and was a park with a lake on, and it was kept clean, you know, because you are told as a kid when you're growing up, you know, these spaces are important. They're for everybody. You've got to pick up your litter. If you have a picnic, you pick up your litter, you put it in the bag and you throw it away when you leave. Mm-hmm. You know, that idea, and you just don't see that here anymore. Or when you do, it's people like us who are a little bit more aware and have grown up with that, or it's a younger generation who are now coming through and are really starting to take action on, you know. I mean, I went over to the East Coast and I've traveled all over here, and you get on these beautiful, pristine beaches and you walk 2 minutes just up the beach and it's just covered in plastic bottles and, you know, plastic carrying bags and cans. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, you know, you've come all this way to want to stare at a beach and at the sea and be somewhere beautiful. Just look after it.
And the best part of it, Malaysians will spend a lot of money traveling outside of Malaysia to these pristine beaches in Thailand, in Philippines, in Indonesia, but, you know, we don't take care of the ones that we have here.
Mm. So. Yeah, I mean, you, speaking about taking care of what we have here, we talk about like KL City itself and how it's like not decaying, but how people don't want to live in the city anymore. Like, you know, everyone's living on the fringes, on the outskirts, and no one actually occupies KL City Centre. It's used for offices and like a commercial district. And then, of course, there's a lot of complaints about, you know, people saying that KL doesn't belong to Malaysians anymore and stuff. So Think City, they did this initiative, I think, like 2 years ago. So they were teaching people about the actual truth of why KL City became KL City is because we hollowed out the city. Mm. The Malaysians in the city moved out to the fringes and the outskirts. We built our own suburban bubbles and stuff. We moved surrounding shopping complexes, shopping malls. There's no reason for us to go into KL City itself. So at the heart, it started decaying because there's no maintenance. There's a completely different ecosystem in the heart of KL and no one wants to maintain it. And then now they're doing, I think DBKL is doing the thing with the River
of Life.
River of Life, yeah. So it's slowly starting, we're slowly starting to move into like KL City, maintain it better, build better buildings, make it a greener city. But it's way more difficult to do when you want to sort of like retcon something that's already there. It's easier to do when you plan for maybe like 25 years in advance.
And it goes back to having three things, like, you know, so Think City says there are several characteristics to make a city to be truly world-class: abundance of jobs and business opportunities, friendly government policies to attract investments and to do business, quality schools, colleges and universities, public safety and others. But all these characteristics mentioned above would not be complete the puzzle without ACT, which means arts, culture and heritage.
Do you know what all of those fall under? The Smart Cities program as well.
Yes.
All of those are the same. All fall under that umbrella. Ladies and gents, we have to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from Elvis Costello and The Attractions with Lip Service. When we come back, our next story, it's all about Facebook F8, a step towards better privacy. Mr. Zuckerberg is planning to give us more privacy, allegedly. Don't laugh.
Allegedly.
It's real. It's real. Mm-hmm. Short break. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.